The following is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Good evening. Welcome to our service tonight. Let's take our hymn books together, please. 393. 393. Let's stand tonight as we sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. 393.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Good evening and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church tonight. You're in for a special treat. We're going to have Pastor Jeff Roberts preaching us as he came all the way from the Sioux just to see you. At this time, we'll have Mr. Kirkwood pray for the offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can come and gather in your house tonight. Thank you for each person that's here and be with those that are not able to come tonight. Bless this offering and bless our time together. Bless Jeffrey as he brings the word to us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Before we go to our next hymn tonight, I wanted to take just a moment and spend some time in prayer for the nation of Israel. Of course, they've been in the news a lot lately, and there's great threats to their security and to their very much to their life. Prime Minister Netanyahu made the comment a couple weeks ago. He said, when Americans wake up, they think about their security. When Israelis wake up, they think about their survival. And so we need to pray for them. The Bible says this, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Psalm 122, verse 6 says this, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. So let's just take a few minutes tonight and maybe pray with somebody beside you or pray quietly by yourself just for a couple minutes. Pray about the elections coming up on Tuesday, but pray for their very survival. The threat of the world is against Israel. And so let's pray for them tonight.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the ability to see
clearly through Scripture your plan, your eternal plan, and your temporal plan here on the earth. We thank you for what you've done through your people, the Jews, Lord. And we ask again, as the pastor has said, that you would be there in a mighty way as the elections come up this week. And Father, we pray that Jerusalem will get her peace. We pray for safety. We pray for the very survival. We know that this is a dark time all around the world. And of course, Lord, all eyes are upon the Middle East and especially upon Israel. So, Father, uphold them. Father, we thank you for our Prime Minister who cares enough to make a big issue over the safety and the peace of Israel. We pray also for other nations to start praying and start being concerned about her safety, Lord, realizing her importance according to your Scripture and your plan. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books again, please. 508. 508. We'll let you remain seated for this one. Let him have his way with thee. 508.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Thank you.
534. 534, let's stand together and we'll sing, "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." 534.
The great I am still is.
in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. We're so thankful when he comes home, and I know it's always a joy. What a great family. And you pray for his family. His wife, Laura Lee, is at home, and Brother Roberts came up to visit with his family this week and do a little work for them. But he has three kids at Pensacola Christian College, and Benjamin, Brandon, and Bethany. And pray for all of them. I don't think anybody is enjoying college more than Bethany. She just seems to be Miss Social Butterfly and having a great time down there. But pray for them. That is a long way from home for Mom probably, especially, and Dad too, I'm sure. So let's remember them in prayer, and pray for Brother Roberts as he comes and preaches to us tonight. We're glad that you're here.
Thank you very much. Well, it's good to be here tonight, and thank you, Pastor Fury, for allowing me to bring the message this evening. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I want to thank the young people for that song they gave us tonight. I need to move this. Move it out. Move it off. How's that? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 8. Okay, thank you. Thank you, brother. I always need work. My wife tells me that all the time. All right, good. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's begin reading. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in the house of God again. Father, I pray that you would just be with me tonight as I bring forth this message. Help me to bring out the thoughts that I have to be an encouragement and a comfort to this church. Lord, we just thank you for all the great things you've done and all the great things you're continuing to do and will do in the future. Lord, we just thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his work of salvation. And Lord, just dying on the cross for our sins. Now, Father, just be with us tonight. Again, may you be glorified through whatever's done here this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Some of the most fulfilling and frustrating relationships come from those in the family of God. In his book, Pepper and Salt, Vance Havner wrote, My father was faithful to the house of God when he felt like it and when he didn't. When the preaching was good and when the preaching wasn't, my father was there. Whether the weather be good, or whether the weather be hot, or whether the weather be cold, or whether the weather be not, whatever the weather, he weathered the weather, whether he liked it or not. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you a fair weather friend in the family of God? Fair weather friends, we all have them sometimes. They're good when the times are good, but when the times are bad, they're not around. Sometimes there are fair weather friends in the house of God, and we need good friends. We need faithful friends in God's family. You know, Jesus told his disciples that they were to love one another, and their love between them would be a trademark of the church. Years later, the Apostle John reminded the church of this love when he wrote these words, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." The church and the gospel ministry is a wonderful place to find friends. I look across this room tonight, and I just don't see church members. I see friends and fellow servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul had 20 years of faithful ministry, preaching the gospel across Europe and Asia. During that time, he would have found and made some friends. He had many friends in the gospel ministry. He also had some enemies. But he also said that he loved his friends. And he remembered them from time to time when he wrote about them in the epistles here found in the Bible. Paul loved these men that were in the ministry with them. He cared for them. He prayed for them. And I think there were some reasons why he loved them. I think one reason was because of their love for Jesus Christ. They loved the Lord. Not only that, but I think they also loved the brethren. They loved Christians, and they cared for one another. And this love was not just a brotherly love. You know, you can find brotherly love among the unsaved. You know, the unsaved love one another. They have the love, that brotherly love. But the love I'm talking about tonight is more than just the brotherly love. It's the love of Christ. It's the self-sacrificing love that Jesus Christ demonstrated when he died on the old rugged cross. That's the love we're talking about. And that same love that we have for Christ and that Christ has for us, we can have for one another. And as John said, that love will come from God. And we can love one another. So we have three groups of people in this passage today that I want to look at. I want to look at three categories of friends found in the church or the family of God tonight. One category of friends in the family of God are those who stay. Are those who stay. Notice it says here in verse 10. It says, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." Here we see a category of men who Paul says they have stayed with me. Paul mentioned these three men. They were Jews. These three here that we see were Jews. They were fellow Jewish men who had accepted Christ and who were called into faithful ministry for the Lord. And through the years, Paul said they had been faithful, not only to the Lord, but also to them. He said, fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. And not only were they faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only were they faithful to the ministry of Christ, but Paul said something else. He said this, they are a comfort to me. That's really made a mark in Paul. He said they were a comfort. You know, it's a comfort to be in the ministry with people who are faithful, with people who love the Lord, they love to serve the Lord. No matter the circumstances, they're faithful, and that was a great comfort to Paul. Aristarchus, we see him in Acts chapter 20. He joined Paul's team. He was actually a Macedonian, and he joined Paul's team. He was from Thessalonica, and he joined Paul's team and traveled with him to Israel. And there, when Paul got in trouble and was thrown in jail and had to go to Caesarea for trial, and he stayed there for a few years. And when he finally had to go to Rome to stand before Caesar, because he said, I want to stand before Caesar to plead my cause, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, it was Aristarchus who stayed with them through the whole thing. And here we even see that he says he's my fellow prisoner. He's there in prison with them. Now, this time, Paul is under house arrest. But he's there. He's faithful. Marcus, well, this is John Mark. This is the young man that joined Paul's missionary team when they first went out, when he went out with Barnabas on the first trek that they made across Asia. And there they took Mark, and he was an attendant. He was there, he was an apprentice, learning from these men. And they went through the island of Cyprus, and at the end of that trip, or just in the middle of it, actually, as they were just going to the mainland of Asia, Mark says, I don't want to go anymore. We don't know why, but the Bible says he went back home to Jerusalem. You know what? Paul didn't like that. That didn't really go well with Paul, because we know that when they went to go on the second trip, and Barnabas said, listen, let's take Mark with us, Paul said, no, I don't want to take him. He left us before. I can't trust him. And the Bible says that the contention between Barnabas and Paul was so sharp that they had to part ways. But you know what? What I see in the life of Mark is sometimes I reflect in my own. God's gracious, isn't he? You know, God gives us a second chance, even when we fail, even when we make mistakes. And that's true of ministers. That's true of preachers. That's true of people who work for the Lord. You know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We say the wrong thing. Sometimes we do the wrong thing. Sometimes we, you know, we don't think right or whatever. Hey, we're human. But we got a God who forgives. We got a God who gives you a second chance. Sometimes a third chance, a fourth chance. And that's what I see about Mark. Paul gave him a second chance. You know, when Paul was facing the death penalty, he said, he's been faithful. He's been a blessing to me in the ministry. You see, God reclaimed him. And sometimes God reclaims people back into the ministry when they've made a mistake. And so here, even Paul mentions this faithful minister. And then he mentions Justus, or Jesus, common name at that time. We don't know a lot about him. All really we know about is he's a faithful minister of the Lord. And also he is with Paul at this time. And he's faithful. But there's one Gentile I want to talk about that's in this group who stayed. And that's not found until you get to verse 14. Notice what it says here in verse 14. It says, Luke, the beloved physician. This is not original with me, but someone said about Luke, they said, you know, Luke is the most important person of the New Testament. Really? The most important person in the New Testament is Luke, outside, of course, of Jesus Christ. Why did that person think that? Because they said that since Luke was a physician, during all those times that Paul was going through trials and sickness, it was Luke that kept him alive. If it hadn't been for Luke, we might not have a third of our New Testament. You know, God's good, isn't he? You know, God sends those ministers. He sends the people they need. He sends the people to keep them going and to keep them strong and to keep them healthy. And that's what happened with Luke. And Paul said he's the beloved physician. I like that. There you can tell there's a special bond between Luke and Paul. You don't see Luke in the New Testament until Acts chapter, I think it's maybe 16, and they call it the we portions of Scripture. And we believe he was maybe also a Greek. He was from Macedonia, a doctor. And he joined Paul's team, and he stayed with them all through his life. And so he was with Paul. He was very faithful. You know, we need faithful friends to encourage us and to comfort us in our life for Christ. It isn't easy being a believer living in this world. Did you ever think that someone needs you to be a friend? You know, I hear people all the time, boy, if I just had some friends. Oh, preacher, I just don't have any friends. Well, why don't you try being a friend? You see, that's the problem, isn't it? We always think about ourselves. We think about me. And it just gets in the way so many times. Instead of saying, you know, I need friends, maybe we should start thinking, who needs me? Someone needs me. Could I be a friend to someone? Could I be an encourager? Could I be a comfort to someone in the family of God? That's the attitude we need to have. And I think that's the attitude that these men had. They wanted to be an encouragement to this great minister, to the Apostle Paul. Some Christians go their way, leaving behind the very people that they need to help. Doesn't that happen sometimes? In our churches, among our church family? They leave behind the very people, for whatever reason it is, that need them. But they're off looking for something else. You know, they're looking for something that's going to bring them fulfillment. You know, and you ever heard that old saying, the grass is greener? The grass is greener somewhere else. Our minds persuade and we comply. But when we get to somewhere else, we find the grass is often dry. We fail to see the beauty all around us every day. While looking for that greener grass, today just slips away. Be careful. There isn't any greener grass out there. The best grass is right here with God's people. You be faithful. Be one of those who stay. Stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay in love with the family that you are a part of. That's so important. So let's be thankful. And I am thankful for those who stay. Another category of friends in the family of God are those who pray. Those who pray. Notice what it says here in verse 12. Verse 12, that's right. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. You know, Paul mentioned another friend. His name was Epaphras. Epaphras was with Paul in Rome. Now, he was a pastor. He was a pastor in Colossae, the very people that Paul is writing to here in this letter of Colossians. And for some reason, he went up to visit Paul while Paul was in prison in Rome. And so while he was there, he was with Paul, and Paul noticed something exemplary in his life. He noticed something that really stood out about this man. What was it? Well, Paul tells us here, he said, you know, Epaphras says hi, he says hello to you. And then he says this, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. You know, Epaphras was a man who prayed. And not only just a man who prayed, but it was how he prayed that really caught his attention. Notice he said there, always laboring fervently in prayer. What does that mean? Well, the word fervently, it means agonizing. This man prayed agonizing. This man prayed. What it would be like to? Well, the New Testament says that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went there and he prayed. And the Bible says he prayed fervently. The same word we got right here in this passage. Now, how did Jesus pray? He prayed, the Bible says, as it were great drops of blood. You see, Jesus was facing the cross. He was facing all that he would suffer for our sins. And he prayed agonizingly because he was, God even sent an angel to comfort the Lord because of what he was going through. And Paul says that's how this man prayed. He prayed for you, meaning he prayed for the church. You see, he loved that church. He loved the people of that church, and he prayed for them. His zeal for prayer was out of his love for those who he pastored. Paul said, continue to say, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. You know, I am very thankful for those who pray for me. You know, as a young man, I didn't understand. People would come to me and say, Jeff or Jeffrey, I'm praying for you. I'd say, oh, that's nice. But you know, the older you get, the more that means something. You know, the best friend you have in this world is one who prays for you. Don't forget that. The older I get, the more I realize it. You know why I realize that? Because you know what? Praying isn't easy. I'll be honest with you. One of the hardest things I find to do in my life is to be consistent in prayer. I can read my Bible. I can do a lot of things. But taking the time to pray, that's difficult. And when someone says, a Christian says to you, they're praying for you, man, I tell you, you got a friend. You got a friend. And we need those types of friends, especially preachers. We need the people who pray for us. We need that. That's battle. That's spiritual battle. Don't you forget that. And we need that. And I tell you, that's why we call them prayer warriors. Because they're warring. They're fighting the battle through prayer. And we need that. And maybe you can be like that. Maybe you are here tonight and you're wondering, is God hearing my prayers? Does my prayer mean anything? Do people appreciate my prayers? Well, I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for my prayer. For myself, rather, and if you're praying for me, I appreciate it. And I'll ask you to continue praying. We need those prayers. We need people who will pray, people who will be faithful to pray for their pastor, their fellow parishioners, and their fellow workers in the ministry. Consistent prayer is difficult. It takes time. It takes energy. When we pray, we show the love of Christ by sacrificing our time and energy to pray for those who really need it. And then the third group I like to look at here tonight, another category of friends in the family of God, are those who stray. Those who stay, those who pray, and those who stray. Another category of friends, sometimes these friends are the frustrating relationships in our churches. Very frustrating. In this context, in verse 14, notice what he says here. At the end of that verse, he says, Demas greets you. Demas. Now, this time, in this context, when Paul's writing this letter, Demas was still faithful. He was still with Paul there in Rome under house arrest. However, later on in Paul's ministry, Paul said this about Demas. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, he said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." You know, as far as we know from about Demas was never reclaimed to ministry. We never hear any more about Demas after that. Not like John Mark. You know, John Mark, he was reclaimed back to ministry and greatly used of God, but not Demas. Demas never, as far as we know, he never come back. At some point in his ministry, and we don't know when, but Demas fell in love with this world. His heart changed and he left Paul. What happened? It says that he fell in love with the quote world, this world, the present world in which he lived in. The word world refers to the present system of things that run our society. You know, the Apostle John again warned about the world, didn't he? He said to us Christians, he said, love not the world. Don't fall in love with that old world out there. You know, sometimes faithful Christians, they make mistakes and they love the wrong things. Why? Because they're deceived. You know, Satan is still deceiving people. He's still deceiving Christians. You know, to be very honest with you, he's very good at it. And he's still good at it. But he's deceiving people. People are being deceived all the time. And he fell into that system of the world. He got trapped, and there he was. You know, you don't have to be involved in church ministry long before you realize on our churches there's a revolving door, isn't there? We don't like to talk about it. But there is. People coming in, people going out. Now, not every time people leave is a bad thing. I mean, people leave for different reasons. You know, they move away. They move to a different location. So they go somewhere else. And they find other churches and they serve. And, you know, as you don't like to see them go, but they're going. They're moving on. That's a part of church life too, isn't it? But there are some people who leave because they've fallen in love with this old world. And they go and they don't go to church anywhere. They're just out there. They're not really living for the Lord. They're not doing anything for them, for the Lord themselves. You know, I've seen people in my church stay 6 months, 5 years, 10 years. But I've seen those people fall into the world. And they leave. They didn't stay. They strayed away. I got one lady in our church. She's been there for the long haul. She's been there since I was there. She was even there before I got there. Pastor McDonald would remember her or know her. And, you know, very faithful. And very faithful to me as a pastor. And praise the Lord for people like that for people who stay and are faithful. But for those who stray, I used to get angry. I used to get very angry when I saw that. I get mad. I'd say, why can't they stay? Why can't they be faithful? It would make me so angry. And I get so frustrated. But you know, I came to the point in my ministry where I had to say, you know what? Instead of being angry, I've got to learn to be thankful. You say, thankful? Yeah, thankful. You know, there are some things we can do that I've learned that we can do for those who stray. First thing you could do is pray for them. Keep them on your prayer list. You need to pray for them. Don't take them off. Even when you're angry, don't take them off. Just pray for them. Keep praying for them. Because, you know, even though they're out there, somebody still loves them. Somebody still wants them. You know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd. He wants them back. The Bible says that he's going to go after them and he's going to bring them back one day if they're his sheep. But we need to pray. Another thing we can do for those who stray is be here when they get back. You ever think about that? You know, they come back sometimes. They like to look around and see some familiar faces. They like to see, oh, there's so-and-so. They've been faithful. They like to see the familiar faces. And that encourages them. They need to see that. That's what we can do for those who stray. Don't give up on them, because our Savior doesn't either. We need to be there. I know it's disappointing from time to time, but let's focus on being thankful, because that's one of the greatest things we can do, is be thankful for what God's done. I have a list of people who've strayed from our church and gone out, and you know, I just pray for them. Every time I go through the list, I try to think something they did that was positive for the church when they were there, and I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for what they did. And just continue praying for them. And that's all we can do. But the Lord, he does the rest. And you never know. I've always said this. I've said, you never know who's going to come in those church doors one day. You never know. Could be somebody that has left and they come back. And you thought they'd never be back. But you know what? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful shepherd, is always working on their hearts for those who stray. Never give up on them, because you never know when they're going to come back. In the fold, the sheep were grazing. 99 of them were there, as the faithful shepherd counted in his ever-loving care. One had seen some greener pasture. He was sure his choice was best. So forgetful of the shepherd, he wandered from the rest. Jesus loves the unsaved sinner, but this one in sin so deep was a member of the sheepfold, not a goat among the sheep. 'Twas the child of God who wandered from the shepherd's side to roam, like the prodigal who wandered from the loving father's home. Bruised and beaten, worn and weary, though the child of God may stray, wandering farther from the shepherd in his ever stubborn way. In some time of desperation, in some moment of despair, when he thinks there's none to love him, none to understand or care, then the shepherd's arms will lift him on the shoulders that are strong. And the shepherd will say gently, I have sought for thee so long. Then the shepherd will seem dearer than in brighter days long past to the glad repentant sinner who has come back home at last. You know, you keep praying for those who stray. Keep praying for those who have left the fold, because the Lord, He hasn't given up on them. He's going to try his best. He's going to do everything he can to bring them back home. Fulfilling relationships in the church can keep us encouraged while we live for the Lord Jesus Christ in this sinful world. There are several ways we can keep encouraged as believers to live for Christ while we walk in this sinful world. One of the ways is to keep encouraged is to have good and loving relationships among the brethren. Paul said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." You know, the body of Christ is the opportunity to have a fulfilling relationship outside the home. We can do good to all men, but God would have us do good to those who are of the family of God. Our love for Christ binds us together and very hard to sever. I don't know if you ever heard of a gentleman. His name was John Fawcett. He was a preacher back in the 18th century and over in England. And he had a small church. And that church really couldn't really afford to pay their preacher what he needed to live on. And so John, as his family got bigger and his needs got greater, he had to start looking for another place to go and minister to. He put his name out, and finally a church called and said, "We'd like you to come and be our pastor." Well, moving day came, and they loaded all his stuff onto the wagon. And as the church was loading and putting it on and tying it together, the time came for them to go. And the story goes that as they got up on their wagon and as they were ready to head out, the tears began to run down their eyes. They began to weep, John and his wife. And finally, John's wife turned to the preacher and said, "Listen, honey, we can't leave these people. They need a pastor." And John says, "Okay." He says, "I feel the same way. I can't leave these people either." So he got out the wagon. He says, "Okay, folks, put it all back in the house. We're not leaving." And you know, he stayed at that church and ministered there for 75 years. You know, he sat down and he wrote a song. He wrote, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love." But he said this in verse 4. "When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again." That's true. I think John Fawcett put in words the very thoughts that I have tonight. You know, one day we're going to meet again in heaven. What a blessing that's going to be. And that we will truly be there, the family of God. But until then, we have a church, a family. And let's appreciate that family. And let's love one another. And let that be the hallmark of the Bethel Baptist Church and the community of Norfolk County and the surrounding area. May people know of Bethel Baptist Church as the love that those people have for one another. And that'll be your hallmark. That'll be the one. In reflection, let us thank God for our friends in the family of God, whether they are sometimes fulfilling or frustrating. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you for the friends that I have in this place, the people who are faithful and been faithful for many years, for those who pray for me. And Lord, we pray also for those who have strayed. We pray, Lord, as the good shepherd, you'll bring them back to the fold. But Lord, thank you again for our Savior, Jesus Christ, for the shepherd of this flock, the chief shepherd. And Lord, we look forward to the time that he will appear. So Father, bless us now. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one's looking around. If
God has spoke to your heart. This old-fashioned altar is open. Brother Baker is going to begin to sing a hymn of invitation. If the Lord is speaking to you, why don't you come and pray and ask God, who can I be a friend to? How can I be an encouragement to another? Maybe there's one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would give his life for his friend. Jesus Christ did that for you. Died upon the cross to pay the price for your sins. So one here say, preacher, I've never met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If I were to die tonight, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I need a friend like Jesus to save my soul. Could we help you tonight? I won't embarrass you. I won't call out your name, but we just want to pray for you tonight and that the Holy Spirit of God may help you and bring you into all truth and show you that Jesus is, in fact, the way, the truth, and the life. So one that just slip up their hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die tonight, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you are our friend. And Lord, we know that when friends may stray, we have a friend that does stick closer than a brother. We thank you for Jesus. Father, we pray that you'd help us each to be that friend to somebody that can be an encouragement, a help, a prayer partner, a prayer warrior. And Father, may we lift up somebody today. Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Pastor McDonald's going to come and share a few announcements. Be in prayer for next week, if you would. On Thursday, I'll be leaving to preach the men's conference for Greater Vancouver Baptist Church. And there's last year, they had about 40. This year, they're expecting over 70 men to come. So praise the Lord that perhaps some new converts there, and that would be wonderful to be a blessing. So pray for me as I preach. I get very nervous when I get out of my own pulpit, and I would appreciate so much you praying for me. Brother Roberts will be at the door to shake hands tonight. Would you encourage him on your way out tonight? God bless you.
Amen.
Come with me.
Amen. I've heard Brother Roberts preach many messages. I think this is probably the best one I've ever heard him preach. And it's not because he's yelling and pounding on the pulpit. It's just the right from the heart, and a good message that I certainly needed. I got two announcements for you tonight that's somewhere in the bulletin, but I just want to emphasize them. The first one is that immediately after we dismiss here, there's an usher's meeting over in the teenager's room with Brother Paul McPherson. So don't, if you're an usher, please don't miss that. I'm sure he won't be keeping you there long, but it'll be important. And the other thing is just to make an announcement that Master Clubs are not going to be running this Thursday because of the March break. So everybody gets a break. And perhaps one other thing, please do not send any of your kids to the academy tomorrow because I don't want them, okay? It's my break too. And the teachers for sure. We love them. We love them. But everybody gets a break. So just to remind you and continue to pray for them. Pray for our young people that they have a safe and wonderful break at this time. All right, we'll pray and we'll dismiss. Father, we thank you again for the message that was preached here tonight. We thank you for the message preached this morning, Lord. We are so blessed to have your word and that you've sent men by here, Lord, who are able to faithfully preach the gospel. And Lord, help us to take it to heart. Help us to take that message tonight to heart about friendship. Lord, help us to be those friends that stay and those friends that pray, Lord. And Father, help us to be the ones that pray for those who stray. And Father, we thank you again for the lessons that your holy scriptures give to us. Work on our hearts, Father, all of our hearts. And Father, we'll give you the praise for it. It has been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and we thank you so much for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. God bless you now. You are dismissed.